All right. Now the message on faithfulness here, real quick. Open with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5. So this message is faithful to provide. Brother Jason talked yesterday about our stewardship. There's a close connection between stewardship and provision, isn't there? All of us in our circle of stewardship, we all have different things, don't we? All of us have, at different points in our lives, we have different things. But as men, we're all going to have this responsibility placed upon us to provide. That's going to be in our circle. Some of you young men are seeing that coming into your circle right now. For some of you other young men, it's a little bit farther off. But you're still thinking about it. You're still thinking about, how will I provide? Some of you older men are still thinking about that question. How can I provide? And it's a struggle in many of our lives. First Timothy chapter 5. We're going to read verse 8. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank You, Father, for Your goodness toward us. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You are our provider. We pray, God, You will teach us, Lord, to manage the stewardship of provision which You've entrusted to us, Father, in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so 1 Timothy 5, 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. This verse ties faith with provision, doesn't it? This verse ties faith with that stewardship which God has given to us. We've all known men in our lives who have failed in the area of provision because of their own sinful habits, haven't we? Men who say, I will not work for anything less than $20 an hour. Men who say, I just won't work. I'm to be served. I'm just going to sit and watch other people provide for me. That's a no faith kind of a response, isn't it? That's a no faith. It's a faith issue. It is absolutely a faith issue. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is talking about prayer. And he talks about the young boy coming to his father and asking for a fish. He says, will you give him a stone? Who do the kids look to provide for them? The kids all look to their dads, don't they? They look to their fathers to give them the fish, to give them that thing which they need to supply their physical needs. So we're going to talk today a little bit about providing for physical needs, and we're going to look at four different points, which I believe are vitally important for the physical provision, which God has said is a faith issue. The first is pray. The first point is to be a man of prayer. In our Lord's Prayer, one of the components of the Lord's Prayer is, give us this day our daily bread. The Lord teaches us to look to God as our ultimate provider. We're all incapable of providing for ourselves. One important thing to recognize as we pursue application in this responsibility is recognizing that I am incapable, I cannot provide for myself. Give us this day our daily bread. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 6, Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We should make this provision a matter of prayer. And it gives us the opportunity also, as we commit this to prayer, it gives us the opportunity to be thankful to God and to teach our children, this is where all this good stuff comes from. We're to present our petition with thanksgiving, aren't we? And then it says, in the peace of God, which passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How much anxiety takes place in this world over this matter of physical provision? A lot. A lot of anxiety takes place in this world over this matter of physical provision. And God gives us a solution to that anxiety, doesn't He? He says, pray with thanksgiving. Pray with thanksgiving. Entrust these things to the Lord. Cast your cares on Him because He cares for you. We can trust that our Heavenly Father is a perfect provider and that He does love and care for us. Amen. Can't we? And like the psalmist, we can say that we have never seen the righteous hungry or his children begging for bread. None of us here is anywhere close to lacking the basic things required for the maintenance of our human lives, are we? So first of all, pray. Secondly, be diligent. Be diligent. Commands to diligence are all through the Scriptures. All through the Scriptures. We have command again and again. If a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. Some of you young men are thinking about, how am I going to work to make for a living? That's a good thing to be meditating on. It's a good thing to be thinking. It's not a good thing to be anxious about, but it's a good thing to be thinking about. And perhaps the most important thing that you can do to be preparing for that is to be diligent in the sphere of stewardship which God has given you today. All of us have a sphere of stewardship in our lives today. And as we're diligent in those things, I believe we'll see our sphere of responsibility, accountability, and authority increase.
Right.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul admonishes, verse 11, in 1 Timothy, Paul admonishes the Thessalonian church in the following way. He says, we'll start with verse 9, but concerning brotherly love, you do not need that I should write to you, for yourselves are taught by God to love one another, and indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. There is a biblical mandate to take your hands and put them to work.
Right.
To take your hands and to use them constructively.
Right.
To work. I've heard a number of men say, I don't want to do physical work. I don't want to use my hands. I want to use my head. And I think that's really an illusion. I think that is an absolute illusion. You've got to use the whole package.
Right. Right.
It's not a dichotomy. That's a false dichotomy, isn't it? The idea of using your head or using your hands. You have to use the whole package. You have to use everything that God has given to you for taking dominion and providing for yourself and for your family here on this earth. Paul was an interesting provider, wasn't he? He was a man who consistently worked double. He provided for his own needs, and he taught the church. He worked double. He expresses this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 7 to 12. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have the authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. So Paul was most interested in, he was less interested in his own provision, wasn't he? He was most interested in being an example to these people, in training them how to live a responsible life. He worked with his own hands, and he worked ministry, didn't he? You know what? Most of us here are going to have to work double a lot of our lives. You're going to go to work, and then you're going to come home, and you're going to have to work at home too. our families. If you have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 kids, 8 kids, the more you have, the more work is going to be. And that's not bad. That's a good thing. I can remember when I had 3 kids. When we first moved down here, we had 3 kids. And I can remember coming home and actually being a little bit bored, because there wasn't a whole lot to do. I could just spend the time playing practically with the kids or for whatever. Now I have 8 kids, and things are a lot different at my house. They're a lot different. There is not a dull moment. There is not a dull moment at all. I come home and we have this to do. As Christian men who are committed to leaving things like our reproduction in the hands of the Lord, it's going to require, and the work is worth it, but it's going to require diligent work. It's going to require diligent work. I'm very thankful to the people here that have helped my wife with the work of our house. Both Mr. Jones' daughter and Mr. Schaff's daughters and wife have helped my wife in tremendous ways. Such a beautiful picture of body life and in my wife's weakness that other people have stepped in to help her. It's been such a blessing, and a blessing to me as well. Great application of body life. But as men of God, we're going to be working double, triple, quadruple sometimes. There's a lot of work to do. If you don't have any work to do, open your eyes. Open your eyes, because you'll find work to do. So first of all, pray. First of all, entrust these things to the Lord. Secondly, be diligent. Be diligent in your work. Do you see a man who's diligent in his work? He's going to stand before kings. He's not going to stand before mean men. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Who, having no king, overseer, or ruler,
that's right,
she provides for herself, doesn't she? She
right.
does the work. An ant, if you look down at the ground almost anywhere on the habitable portions of this world, you'll see ants. Ants make up a tremendous percentage of the weight of the living organisms on this earth. And they're diligent little critters. They're fascinating to watch. You see them walking along there, holding on to something, and you'll see 2 or 3 of them grab a hold of the same thing and walk it along, and they're diligent, aren't they? Third point, be content. Be content. There is nothing to destroy your ability to provide like discontentment. There's nothing that will destroy your ability to provide like discontentment. If you always have, if you're the fool who always has his eyes on the ends of the earth, you'll never have enough. And what you do get, you'll waste. On things you already have, but you just think you need more of. Or on other gadgets that you don't really need. Be content. Be content. Proverbs 30. The writer of Proverbs says, feed me with food convenient for me. Proverbs 30, verse 8. Proverbs 30, verse 8. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me. Lest I be full and deny you, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal, and profane the name of my God. Be content with the things that God gives you, with the station in life in which God has placed you. There's a danger in pursuing riches, isn't there? And I'm not saying that it's a bad thing to be rich. The hand of the diligent makes rich, doesn't it? The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. But the one who hastens to be rich, he falls into a trap. It's a trap and a snare. The one who hastens to be rich. The other day, I was at the store, and the line to buy lottery tickets was out the door. Because the Powerball, I think, was at 154 or maybe 500 million. I don't know. At a ridiculously multiple millions. All those people were lined up because of discontentment, and every one of them was lined up to get bad news. Every single one of them was going to get bad news. None of them won. Though I heard on the news the next day that the winners were like in Florida and Arkansas or something like that. Every one of those people that lined up was in the line just to get bad news and was all motivated by discontentment. They were hastening to be rich, weren't they? So I said to the checkout guy, I said, they're all lined up to get bad news, aren't they? He said, well, I like to think that in a parallel universe, I win every time I buy a ticket. Okay. But content people can streamline their budgets. Content people can streamline, and you can run a family of 2 kids, 3 kids, 4 kids, 5, on less if you're content. It takes more if you're discontent. I remember when there was just my wife and I, there was enough money for my wife and I, and there wasn't really anything to spare. And then, when it was my wife and I and one child, there was enough. And today, with 8 kids, there's enough for my wife and I and 8 kids, and not a lot to spare. And that's just the way it's worked the whole way. I give thanks to God for that. I give thanks to God for that. So anyway, pray, be diligent, be content. Be content with such things as you have. 4, give. Give. A major principle of provision is giving. The world and our mind, what's our mind say? Our mind says hoard, doesn't it? Hoard, get for you. You never know when they might stop manufacturing that or selling it or... it's going to go out of stock. And the world just tries to feed that. They say, you know what, we're only making one of these, and if you don't buy it, the next guy will, you will lose out, and there'll never be another one. Get these things for yourself. Our brain says hoard, but God says give. Turn to Luke 30, or Luke 6, rather. It isn't Luke 30. Luke 6. Verse 38, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. We hear this verse twisted around and misused by all sorts of false teachers and stuff. That's true. But you know what? This verse is true also. This verse is true. God says, give, and you'll receive. Give and you'll receive. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Give. Our brain says hoard. God says give. And he promises a blessing to generous people. As we faithfully do these 4 things, I think that we will see, I believe that we will see God providing for our genuine needs. As we pray and trust these things to the Lord, say no to anxiety and yes to prayer. As we are diligent in the things which God has given to us to do, as we're content, and as we give, reminds me also of the end of the book of Philippians, where where Paul is thanking the church for their participation with him financially in the gospel, and he says, "And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." I believe that as we do these things, we will see God meet all of our genuine needs. Maybe not all of our perceived needs, maybe not all of our felt needs. But I believe we'll see him meet all of our genuine needs. Thank you, God, that you are the provider. Thank you, Lord, for all of the abundance of wealth that you have put here on this earth.
Amen.
And you have given us all these things to be managed, to be used for the honor and glory of the King and the Kingdom. This is all a matter of worship. We thank you, God, for giving us this God-centered perspective on provision. And we pray, Lord, we'll walk this out, Father, and we pray, God, that you will provide for our needs according to your promises. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.